Hello and welcome to Pompey Talk Extra Time in partnership with Giant Leap. I'm your host Jeff Marshman and joining me on the safe today are my colleagues Jordan Cross and Steve Wilson. Steve, let's start today by looking at maybe the Pompey players who haven't sort of endeared themselves to the fans, linking this in with obviously Pompey are travelling to Notts County tomorrow and a certain Isle MacLeod.
Yeah, he never made himself Mr. Popular at Fratton Park, did he? He was, in his defence, you would suggest that at the time Pompey were in a bit of a mess and there was monthly contracts. A lot of these players were promised things that never materialised. Yeah. So that's from that perspective. However, there is still an opportunity for players when they are, even if it's a monthly contract, to give everything to the cause in that time. And I think most Pompey fans felt that Isle MacLeod probably didn't do that in terms of his entire commitment to the club.
But Mrs. MacLeod didn't agree with them, did they? The flag that was going his way on Twitter, she led to her husband's defence.
Oh yeah, and in his defence again, he was a relatively decent goal scorer. He scored a few, didn't he, in that short period of time with the club? But he never looked like he was that.
Got a problem with a striker playing in that way. They get you the goals. I mean, probably my favourite Pompey striker. Yakubu and my other one, Mick Quinn, were of that ilk. They never really went charging around and coming in a Ben fashion, but they had quality about them and they put the ball in the back of the net, which is what they're supposed to do.
The other thing that MacLeod obviously upset a lot of people, there was a game just before, he was on four bookings, I think, if you remember right. He got himself booked for
Christmas, wasn't it?
Yeah, so he was ruled out of a tricky trip over Christmas, and that was the end.
We never saw him again. Now in the coffin when that became apparent. And then Andy Orford, when he came in, he had a very strong view about Isle MacLeod and what he thought about him.
Yeah, so he wasn't Mr. Popular in terms of his time at Pompey, but he keeps getting carving out himself a career at decent clubs.
He scores goals.
He's a lower division goal scorer, isn't he? So it's let's just hope we're not putting the cut. They'll probably show this to him, aren't they? Before the game.
Motivation show there was for Isle MacLeod.
Another Justin Edinburgh moment on the cards.
Yeah, but he scores goals, so some people are made up differently, aren't they? They've got different makeup. Some you'll get a Johnny Ertel type who gives absolutely everything in terms of his ability and what he can do for a club, and then you get a different kind of player who is a more pure professional in terms of they'll go and where I'm paid and I will go and do what I'm supposed to do and then I'll go home again.
Isle MacLeod was unpopular, but was he as unpopular as Cole Tyler?
Cole Tyler.
Last one.
There you go.
Why was it? Can you remember why he was so
because he was despised? Because he was rubbish.
despised the right term to use for it. He wasn't very good. Was it for a guy who was about 6'3"? I don't remember him being very good at being able to head the ball. That was the thing.
I wasn't at the game because it was in my university days. I remember the Crystal Palace.
The Palace
one. It was the one where he got the dogs abuse and that was a real horror.
That was unfortunate for him because he seemed to bear the brunt of all the frustration that was going on. And I remember there were season tickets raining down onto the pitch in that game.
But it looked up. That was the game where it looked like it was over.
Yeah,
and they were going down. I remember bumping to Hayden Mullins that summer on holiday, and he was like, God, what was going on? What were they doing to Cole Tyler?
Other unpopular, right, going back a bit further.
Yes.
Yeah, Ian Baird.
Yeah, thanks for taking my one, Steve.
Well, I was going to say you know a bit more about that one, don't you?
Daryl
Russell, that's one. Yeah. A more recent one. It was never my favourite during his time at Pompey.
He had a very strong opinion.
I did, yeah.
We've had many chats about Daryl Russell.
I heard a bit of a rumour about something that happened on the pitch in terms of like when Pompey were in getting smashed at Swindon.
Yeah.
5-0, as I recall.
Oh, yeah.
And I heard it might be complete and utter nonsense, but There were a few Pompey players who weren't as committed to it, and instead of trying to, get themselves back into the game or try and play it out professionally, they were having their own little game to see how many nutmegs they could do.
Whilst 5-0 down.
I don't remember it. It could be absolute complete and utter nonsense. Yeah. But
Williamson was the other one that was tarred with that brush, wasn't it?
But yeah, so it's whether my opinion has been swayed by that or not, I just never saw him as a midfielder. I didn't see him as a particularly committed player to the cause. I didn't see what he brought to the team.
Your hopes of a footballing comeback when you saw what he brought to the table.
Yeah. And it's a shame because he obviously played at a very high standard, didn't he? He was a good player in his day, but
gave a good interview, but that was about it really.
So he was he never
talking
never ticked
of
my box.
As players players who maybe weren't of a great quality, shall we say? Geordie, you interviewed Hamilton Thorpe fairly recently, didn't you? And would he be maybe one that Pompey fans would look back on and say one of the worst to put on the blue?
The line for the interview was he was tarred the brush of being the worst Pompey player ever. and I had to then put that question to him, and he took it on the chin, and he actually, it was quite an emotional interview. he sort of said, "Yeah, I'm aware that people say that about me, and now I've got my chance to have my say." And he was talking about when he was on trains, because he didn't have a lot of friends here. He came over, played as striker. He was never a striker beforehand. He got converted from a defender to a striker about 6 months before he came over in Australian football. Mm-hmm. And then he got brought over with all the influx of Aussies that Venables brought over. Next thing you know, he's playing as a striker for Pompey. It's a bit like Ryan Bird. He'd never played there before. No surprise. He wasn't any good at the job. Got a heck of a lot of stick. Had no friends here. He used to get on the train and just go to London for something to do. He used to get dogs abuse from Pompey fans on the train. Hate mail through the door as well. And he absolutely broke him. I don't think he ever recovered from it, really.
There's a few others. Scott McGarvey, early 80s, was pretty much despised from, at a slow start to his career and never recovered from that. Baird, as you brought up, he's one who's always mentioned as never taken to by the supporters as well. So
nice guy, got a load of stick. Matt Robinson, the left back. I was just saying to you off camera. I saw him in a holiday park down in Devon when I was surfing down there a few years ago, and had a good chat with him. Lovely fella, but the Southampton connections killed him, and he wasn't the most talented player, was he? So.
He obviously had that extra hurdle to overcome, didn't he? If you come from Southampton, you've got to be
up against it straight away. Alan
McLaughlin found, didn't he? It took even scoring on his debut in a cup quarter final, he still had to sort of overcome that sort of view from a lot of people that he's from down the road and we'll never like him.
To this day, despite what he's done for Pompey, we'll still get branded a scummer by some certain fans.
Right, well, we've slagged the players off enough. Why don't we slag off Pompey's recent FA Cup run instead? It's not been great, has it, let's be honest?
Yeah, let's just stick the boot in full stop for...
this is more a Pompey dig than a Pompey talk
it's
today.
It's Halloween, so it's gallows humour, isn't it? A horror show kind of thing.
It's the eighth time of asking, lads, that we are...
Because there was a little bit of a discussion about whether
it's
eighth.
This is contrived. Yeah. It's a contrived statistic. Well, I'll let Jordan explain it.
No, okay, it filled up the paper and got the story online earlier in the week. Pompey's FA Cup hoodoo is actually this weekend to be the eighth time of trying since beating Spurs back in 2010.
Can we go through them? Do we know?
I'm probably going to forget them all now, aren't I?
I'll help you. Go on.
Go on. So we've got the Chelsea final.
One.
Yeah, the next year was Brighton, wasn't it?
Yep. Tom Kilby scoring.
Tom Kilby's finest.
Kitson get sent off in that one.
Kitson sent off after 15 minutes at the With Dean.
Yeah. Tom Kilby is maybe another. Well, he obviously had a bit of ability, didn't he? But he just
don't know.
We weren't allowed
to speak to him that day, were we?
Yeah. Steve Cotchell refused to put him up. This lad just got big moment. I got to know him a bit on the American tour, and he was a bit different from the average footballer. It was apparent then. Gets that goal. That was his great moment. I think he appeared at Forest off the bench, then went on loan to Lincoln. Then disappears and turns up on is the only way is Essex.
You'll say you have more appearances on the only way is Essex than for Pompey, didn't
you? Well, he's probably earning a few more quid doing that.
Well, his family are loaded. His dad owns a Fabric nightclub in London, which is one of the huge nightclubs. Yeah. And I remember saying, any time you want to go to London, I'll hook you up with VIP at Fabric and all this kind of. Oh, cheers.
You'll be well out of place there, mate.
I know, well past that then. I'm not down with the young kids, am I?
where were we? Brighton. Yeah, then it was.
That's Chelsea, was it?
Chelsea, when again Kitson had missed the sitter, didn't he, early on?
That's right.
And they lost 4-0, I think.
They were in that game, and so it was 0-0 at half time, wasn't it? And then I think they scored but a few minutes after the break. Pompey reeled in it, and then a few late goals, it kind of gave an unfair reflection of that game for Michael Appleton's side.
And then after that, Notts County, I think, wasn't it, under Appleton?
Notts County.
Yeah, that was a bleak home defeat.
They wear a pink kit that day, is that right?
A bit like us.
Pretty pink.
Very trendy.
Steve, you didn't get that memo.
No, I didn't get that memo. But not after that was Stevenage under Guy.
Yeah, we both covered that game. Yeah, on the way down at the Lamex, wasn't it?
The Stevenage were better on the day, weren't they?
Yeah, they had.
Quite decent at the time.
I think did they get it back? Were they two down and got it back?
It was a Portuguese lad that gave them the runaround, wasn't there, for Stevenage? Yeah, a lot of attacking quality there. Obviously went backwards on the
pass. On the Wesley.
And then after that, it was the Aldershot one last.
The Aldershot debacle, which really was sort of a dagger blow for Andy Orford, and that the defeat there then set up the whole furore. I think the board made their mind up that they needed some coaching assistance, and then the whole shenanigans over Alan McLaughlin ensued, which was a real sad affair. Yeah. Chapter in the club's recent history.
It's, there is an opportunity to write some of this, isn't there?
We're
home draw against Macclesfield, they're at the moment mid table in the league below. So, yeah, Pompey will obviously go into it as favourites, won't they? So it's but Pompey went into last season as favourites.
You'd expect them to win that, wouldn't you? I've got Effie Sodgett still playing for him at 85 or whatever it is. I think his official age is 43. But big game for Gareth Evans next week.
I was going to say, you've got an interview with Gareth Evans.
Yeah, we had a chat with Gareth, and I think we'll be seeing more about that in the coming days. Really excited. The one Pompey player probably was excited by the prospect.
Macclesfield
born,
isn't he?
He started his professional career there. Trainee was a kid at Man United, then Crewe got released, and that was his first pro club. Had a couple of years there and enjoyed his time. So he'll be up for that one. He'll be wanting to play as well, because if they do shuffle their pack, he'd be keen to get involved in that. He probably could do in the minutes as well.
You get the impression he's not going to shuffle it too much, though. He might go a little bit, but no, he won't certainly go for a Johnston Paint Trophy or anything like that.
I think he's keen on a couple, isn't he? He's desperate to get to the third round and hopefully snare a big plum draw and hopefully get some bodies through the turnstiles at Fratton Park, maybe.
While we're on the subject of the FA Cup, in the Sports Mail tomorrow we've got a nice sort of picture page of memories from the Anfield game, the FA Cup semi-final in 1992. Sorry, the Highbury game, wasn't it, Liverpool. I was just going to say, what were your sort of favourite FA Cup memories, and where would that rank, say, against maybe the semi-final against Spurs and the FA Cup win and stuff like that? Pompey have had some good memories, haven't
they? Yeah. Well, one we covered, wasn't it? At Old Trafford, the quarter final.
Do you want to tell that, Alex?
Yeah.
Fantastic, Alex.
The quarter final of, as Pompey were getting battered for most of the game, as we all know, the Sylvain Distan remarkable clearance from Carrick.
Physics sort of defying acrobatics.
I also remember Glenn Johnson amazing clearance. I think Tevez had a shot and Johnson cleared one off the line early first half, I think. David James was inspired that day, made a string of saves. And almost a growing sort of feeling that it was Pompey's day, wasn't there? It was kind of like there was a few things going their way, and you think they might just need that one opportunity to go and nick one. Mm-hmm. As it then happened, Montari scoring past Rio Ferdinand. And as the final whistle go, obviously Jordan and I.
Consummate professionals that we are.
There is a press box etiquette that maybe
there
you need
there
to
is, yeah, should clarify.
There is a press box etiquette where you're not supposed to celebrate goals and
professional
behaviour,
which we didn't to most.
We were just giving each other a few celebrations.
punting the underside, and it's like, but time to be professional on the surface.
And we got rumbled by a couple of Man United fans as they were walking down past the press box, and they said something like, "Come back when you've won the treble," wasn't it? Or something like that. But it was our moment to celebrate, and just for a few brief seconds, we lost our professionalism.
Well, that was a Man United team that won the Premier League and the European Cup.
Oh, it was the team that went on to win the Champions League.
Would have gone
season.
On to win the
And how about Alex Ferguson afterwards? What a bad loser he was that day. In his words about Pompey, he was just basically saying that they were fortunate sort of part of the bus.
Because there was the Distan shoulder charge on Ronaldo, wasn't
That's right.
And he claimed that was a blatant penalty, which, at Old Trafford, you may sometimes get
them. But he's used to getting them, isn't he? Yeah. And he didn't get that day, and quite right too. So.
But yeah, that's probably and obviously the trips to Wembley is fantastic times that season. The West Brom semi-final and the Cardiff one. They weren't as enjoyable in that sense because you couldn't really relax. At Old Trafford, you knew they were massive underdogs. Mm. So you're thinking, we don't really know. But Pompey were expected to win those games. West Brom and Cardiff.
And that perhaps is why, out of all the Wembley trips, you would say Spurs was the most memorable, because it wasn't expected and it was against the odds, and heroic performance, wasn't it, all round, really, from so many players that stepped up. Rocha that day was absolutely phenomenal. And Hayden Mullins playing fullback, wasn't he? And was absolutely excellent. He was left back that day. So many heroes. And even Richard Hughes coming on at the end and digging in.
the Spurs fire drill as the penalty was awarded. You suddenly saw the end empty with all the Tottenham fans. But no, so, I mean, it's a competition. We're getting into the realms of the cliche and the magic of the cup and all that stuff. But it does bring up these sorts of incredible sort of memories.
Yeah, fans will have so many. I mean, that's the big ones. But there'd be like Leeds in the mid 90s as well, wasn't there? The Conga. Upper Ellen Road.
Yes.
And there's going back.
Well, let me quickly redeem myself here. The Highbury game. Okay.
Yes.
Your memories of that, because that's what I'm saying, that we do have a very nice sort of picture one. Did you go to the Villa Park game either?
Well, actually, I wasn't. Yeah, but I do. I was at home watching one on TV.
Yeah.
And
ticker tape came across at the start.
But it gave me probably my favourite and most memorable moment following Pompey, and then the most painful in the space of sort of 7 minutes,
killer,
really,
wasn't it? Yeah.
Because it was the dream was on, and Wembley seemed like such a distant place to, the 10-year-old I was at the time, and a magical place. I'd never been there, and it was going to happen. And it was, when Pompey were to make it there, it had been Sunderland, the opponent, and that was the one we were going to win. We were going to go and do it, And to have that snatched from you was just... I could just
still
feel the pain
hurts,
now.
Still
yeah,
hurts
it
now.
Does still hurt.
Jeff, wrap it up. It still hurts, yeah.
Well, that brings the end to Pompey Talk Extra Time from us. Thanks very much. In partnership with Giant Leap. Goodbye.